problem.
All right. Thanks, guys, for joining us for our follow-up episode to Abduction. We missed a lot of facts and a lot of trivia. I'm your host, Dylan. You got Logan, Matt, and Kevin, I think. That's your names, right?
Hooray!
Yep.
All right. So, in the last scene, his dad talks to him on a camera phone. How does he know of his number? He talks to him on his normal cell phone.
Because he's a spy?
Do you think he regrets having a child because he like keeps saying he can never talk to him? Like, what happens when he retires?
Why are we talking about that shitty movie?
I think
he didn't
does.
Stop me, Logan.
He clearly regrets it, yeah.
Yeah. I guess he just likes killing people so much that he jumped on that chance, even though it meant saving his son's life.
And obviously it's not a secret. Like, it's the Russians have it. They know who his son is. Like, his life will always be threatened, no matter what his dad is doing.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't want to be near his kid because he doesn't want to be in danger himself.
I think you're right. If anything, he's more of a target, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Or it could all be a dream.
Tonight's
would make more sense.
Episode is
Big Trouble in Little China.
A 1986 film about
Big Trouble in Little China.
And it stars
Big Trouble in Little China.
With music by
Big Trouble in Little China.
And introducing
Big Trouble in Little China.
With
Big Trouble in Little China.
Brought to you by
Big Trouble.
Welcome to Hey, Let's Talk About That Movie, or whatever. The only podcast on the internet where people talk about movies.
By the way, that was James Hong and Seinfeld.
I knew it. Did we put that part where we talked about that, Logan?
No.
Okay.
Just random trivia off the top of my head.
All right, so, Logan, what did you think about this movie? Would you recommend it?
Yeah, it was great.
Kevin?
Loved it. It was great.
Dylan?
No, it's like recommending a Mammy doll or a lawn jockey to someone. How can you recommend it? No.
This movie is a classic film by John Carpenter. It is a fun little romp that makes fun of action tropes, but it's still an action movie. It's kind of stupid, but I really enjoyed it.
It's stupid in a good way. Stupid in the right ways.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's also terrible.
Terribly good.
It has its moments for sure. I don't mean to say it's total garbage. It definitely, you know, I wanted to like it. It's got some moments.
It's enjoyable.
It's something really different.
Check it out if you want to do that.
Just be careful.
Dylan liked the production. Completely disregard his taste.
Yeah, I used to ironically like it. Now I just like it. Like, there's no irony there anymore. Someone I watched this with said that it's a lot like a video game. And I know that gets overused, but the more I thought about it, the more it makes sense. This is a series of levels and like a series of chambers. And they all have very clear endings and very clear beginnings.
No, it's
there's
not.
There's even loading screens where like the whole group has to run like to a room. If anything, I'd say it's almost like Snowpiercer. And then it's a very, you know, there's separate chambers. It's very, stratified, separated, I guess.
The whole movie, they're literally either escaping or breaking into something.
The same places, usually. Like, it's like the same 20 locations.
It's like a heist film, except sometimes they're... Well, I guess it is a heist film. Like, they're trying to get in, they're trying to get away.
I like when they break into the one place, when they just walk in and they're like, yeah, it's something about the electricity. Oh, hey, guys, we gotta fix this thing. Ah, such pain. And just, like, walk through, and the guards, like, didn't even get up or anything. They're like, oh, he seems like he knows where he's going.
Or when, Kurt Russell, you know, gets on the intercom and says, nothing, we're all fine here. How are you? There's been a Chinese reactor leak.
Clipboard in a confident wave will get you in anywhere.
Did sincerely like when he has a alter ego. I like that a lot.
Oh yeah, when he acted dumb.
I don't even know what to call it. Acted like a.
That's
a
what they called it.
Dumb, yeah.
That he needed to look dumb. So hey, is this movie offensive or very offensive?
I think we determined earlier that it was offensive to white people due to the fact that he had the main character eating a sandwich, like at the beginning, like a slob, just and, ranting all crazy like to people who don't care.
And podcasting on CB radio, which is a stereotype for white men.
Exactly. Also, he's extremely fit, and you know that's another stereotype for white guys too.
Yeah, and he insanely loves sandwiches. Fit.
And he's wearing eyeliner and he's pulling it off. It's this is totally unfair. This movie is problematic. We can all agree.
Yeah. Also, that was Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
Yes. And that wasn't Miranda from Sex and the City, the other white lady at the movie. Even though it kind of looked like her.
I don't know who the characters in Sex and the City are.
The one that looked like Reba McEntire.
Did one of them look like Reba McEntire?
All right, let's put the podcast on pause and explain Sex and the City to Logan in its entirety, including the movies.
Dylan can just pick Sex and the City movie whenever he wants.
Yeah, that's much better. No. Here's a fact you guys probably didn't know. This script was originally written as a Western, and in the studios, John Carpenter was supposed to direct The Golden Child. And it was supposed to star Mel Gibson, and it was supposed to be a drama, but then Mel Gibson was unavailable, and John Carpenter dropped out. So they're like, cast Eddie Murphy, and let's make this a comedy instead.
That sounds dumb.
And then they hired John Carpenter to direct this competing magical Chinese people movie and rushed it into production.
So Big Trouble in Little China was supposed to be in a Western?
Yes.
Do you think that's why he's doing a John Wayne impression through most of it?
I think that's just because it's cool.
Because he's American.
But also
my bit, Kevin.
The Golden Child.
Go ahead.
The Golden Child was originally going to be, a Mel Gibson drama directed by John Carpenter.
Wow, so Eddie Murphy must have passed up on Ghostbusters for that then. I think that's like the same year. Interesting. So I questioned several times in this movie. They never leave Chinatown. Like, they don't get magically transported. I didn't like look away, use the bathroom, and like they got transported to like ancient China, right? Like, they're always in Chinatown.
Well, that's the thing though, is Chinatown is a magical place.
Yeah.
So what? Once you're in there, it's, you know, who knows? Like, you're sort of in another dimension.
Hey, were you guys saying that like you would bet money that Big Trouble in Little China wasn't filmed in Chinatown in San Francisco?
Yeah, Dylan said that.
Yeah, I bet $100 from the 80s, so I need to find a bunch of money from the 80s.
Okay, because that's one of the places it was filmed.
Sure, one of the outside places. Of it, sure. I'm sure. At the very end of the very beginning of the film, sure, I'll give you it.
That's probably that one shot of when they had, in the credits, when they had Asian people standing around and laughing.
Exactly. So, as soon as there's the Mortal Kombat street fight, they are not in Chinatown anymore. They're in California though, but in a back lot.
Yeah, they were.
It's hard for me too because I'm a little younger than you guys, not by much, but just enough to kind of have come of age during like the CG dominated filmmaking, or at least like very heavily CG supplemented age of filmmaking, like in the 90s. And it's hard for me to not conflate like physical sets, like every effect being real, except for the cartoon lightning. with, you know what I mean, with like okay, do I like that stuff because it's kind of foreign and exotic to me, or, you know, is this movie a good example of that, or, you know, could I just pick any random movie from the 80s and it would be the same? I can't tell. I honestly don't know.
This actually seemed like it was better than a lot of them from the 80s.
Like, is this standard, you know? I mean, I know John Carpenter is like the master of like, you know, smaller budget schlock, for lack of a better word. This is schlock though, I mean, like, in a good way.
I think it was an okay example of what you're talking about.
Yeah, because like, I can't tell, did I love the 1989 Batman because of the same reason, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to separate the two for me.
Because of the weird ape creature?
The weird, the Chewie, the Gollum Chewie? Like, Chewie got the ring and then he turned into that? Yeah.
Oh yeah, there were multiple things that made me think of Star Wars in this.
And D&D. There was a beholder.
Oh yeah, there was literally a beholder flying around.
Yep.
Yeah, I spit up my soup at that. That was great.
That was at some point they were in like the sewers or something, and somebody was like, "Is this like a trash compactor?" That was one of them that I remembered.
How do you think that John Carpenter directed? What did he have to do to get Kurt Russell a good actor and Kim Cattrall a good actress to act like they did?
Offer them money. I think we've been over this before.
I mean, what did he say to them? To be like, listen, I know, listen, no, shittier, do it again, worse, do it worse. I forgot his name.
Keith Russell. Probably just said act hammy. I mean, Kurt Russell did a great job for the character. I don't know what you're talking about. He didn't act poorly. He just acted like a stupid character.
He's like a Xerox console. Just surprised them, like he sprung it on them, and he was like, action! And they were like, what? Oh, okay. Okay. And then they just ran through it one time, and then they moved on to the next thing.
Like he's like Return of the Jedi era Han Solo, but Xerox a few times.
Like, he's just an arrogant, inept person. Like, it's great.
I like that he had way more chemistry with his friend than with Kim Cattrall. That was amazing. I thought for sure at the end he was going to kiss him, you know, when he passed her up. They had that look, and they were, like, super close.
Dylan, early on, was, like, calling all of the plot points of what was going to happen. And the only one he got wrong was that he thought, was like, oh, Kurt Russell's going to end up with this Asian lady.
And wait, then, did I say that?
Yes, you were saying, oh, this is going to happen. That was the one thing you said that... Then they show Kim Cattrall, and you're like, oh, the white lady. Oh, he's not even going to. They gave him a white lady.
Yeah, no. As soon as she showed up, like, oh, no, he's going to end up with her. And he doesn't even end up with her, so.
That was actually pretty great that he didn't.
He ended up with no one. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, like, breaking
ended up
stereotypes.
With, spoilers, the orange ape monster.
That's true.
I do have a question about his sandwich that he's eating. Is that the same sandwich? Like, is this just, is this different sandwiches across the country? Or is it just one sandwich and he just takes a bite after he thinks he says something like makes a really good point on his CB podcast?
Is that what made him hallucinate Chinatown? It's like an LSD sandwich?
It was a country he's been eating for the entire cross-country trip.
Just a bad sandwich trip.
He was wearing sunglasses, and it did not look bright, so he might have been tripping.
Was the lightning, the cartoon lightning, better in Jedi or this movie? Though this movie is 3 years later.
This movie.
It was better in Jedi.
Screw that.
Jedi.
Alright.
They do more with it in this, though. They climb on it and stuff.
Yeah, this guy fucking rides the lightning.
Yeah, I like the way his hand would vibrate as he's going up or down.
Do they all have self-destruct options, or just the one who used it?
He was actually able to inflate himself, apparently. Like, that's his power. I think he was Thunder, right?
Yeah,
no,
the Thunder guy was
different. Insane.
It was Thunder. He was Thunder.
The guy who kept bulking himself up?
Yeah, that was Thunder. He called him Thunder.
Oh, okay.
Dylan, Thunder is sound, lightning is the electricity.
You're correct. You're correct.
It's Thunder, honestly. Lightning, and Wind were the three spirits.
Note that in the Helotatmel wiki that I was wrong this one time.
All right.
Oh, God. Just get a thicker skin. You were wrong once. Deal with it.
I'm kidding. I love you, Logan.
Freaking wallowing now. Look, I was wrong this one time.
No, it was a joke because I'm always wrong. It was a self-effacing joke.
Sure.
Which actually makes me look even cooler.
I didn't write down the other times. You're supposed to mention those.
We'll go back to it.
All right.
Gold subscribers, stick around after the podcast.
And we'll assign you duties to listen back to old episodes.
We'll divvy up. So the more of you do it, the less work you have to do. So come on.
So pay that $100. So I caught a Weedle.
That's
anyways.
Cool.
That's neat. So can we compare this movie to Existence? The part where they go to their own Chinatown?
No, I wouldn't compare this to Existence. This is a completely different thing.
All right. I was satisfied that they had that room full of Buddhas and then they all crashed down at the end. I'm glad that happened.
Like dominoes.
They also got a lot of mileage out of that escalator, the wedding scene. They had a lot of people riding that escalator up and down.
Yes, yeah, full escalator. Did. That was kind of badass.
Yep.
Hey, I got a question.
Matt's got questions.
When that guy blew himself up at the end... Was that supposed to be what was happening? Is he just got too angry?
I think he just got pissed off, yeah.
That
he lost his cool.
So dumb.
That was pretty dumb. And they stick around forever and watch him do that, even though he's like one of the most dangerous characters.
Yep.
In the movie.
I guess they just wanted to see what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, I would probably. Yeah. If someone started like inflating like a balloon, I'd probably be like, what the fuck?
Kurt Russell does the thing where when you get transported to like a magical place in movies and you're like a gruff guy, like it takes you forever to figure out that you're in Magic Town. Like he did that. Like I think he, let me think of what happened until he stopped like questioning it. Like he saw him, he ran over a man who was not dead or hurt in any way. He saw a magic fight with lightning people. And even after that, he's still like, you know, saying, ah, this is a bunch of nonsense.
No, I don't. Did he ever say it was nonsense? I don't think he did. I thought he like pretty much accepted, like, what the fuck is going on here? I figured he accepted it pretty much immediately. And that, like, that's why when they're talking about the, like, I don't want to insult you, Jack. He's like, insult me. He's like, I want to know what the hell is going on here.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen this movie.
Wait, what?
He did tell. Yeah. He did tell Lopan when he was describing his plan that he would end up in the nut house.
Well, that's because he looked like a completely different person.
Yeah, that was. I gotta figure out the mechanics of that in a second. But I also have a question. When he first drove his semi down that alley, and then there's like the procession of dudes who his friend tells him are the good guys, but then there's the bad guys that are animals coming from the other way, and they come up from behind the semi to face off with them. They kind of like they didn't pay too much attention to them in the semi. I was wondering, did they think the semi was like on their side? Because they had a lot of guns and stuff, so they're kind of fighting dirty. Was that they're like, oh, cool, yeah, we got a semi to run these guys over with us.
I just don't think they cared.
Okay.
They kind of just push through it like, you know, like they're in line or somewhere or something. Like it's just part of it. Yeah, we got semi-trucks blocking streets.
Blocking the entire street.
Almost the entire street, yeah. I did like how it was very Street Fighter, like Mortal Kombat, where the two sides were just palette swapped. Like they wore the exact same uniform except for like the yellow and the red. It was very like, what is it, like Scorpion and Sub-Zero and
it's another
like
way
the 50 that, Mortal Kombat ninjas.
Another way this is like a video game.
Yes, that too. And like Snowpiercer, kind of. I want to flash someone the around the waist L so many times and just like, oh, we're cool. That's all right.
Around the waist so L? Much. What?
The little, like, you got to put your hand down by your waist and you flash the L. That means you're cool.
What do you mean? Like, I'm just imagining
I
you doing
this. I
want
to see
if
that opens like, doors for me.
It just sounds like you're pointing to your dick, like the way you're describing it.
I know the symbol that he's talking about it, but I didn't know what it meant in the movie.
It means you're cool. It means you're a yellow guy, not a red guy.
Oh, okay. You mean like the thing where they put their hands up?
Like, they put their hands down, man. They just do a little boop. And they flash a little L. I'm doing it right now, but you can't see me.
I don't know what you're talking about. I know they hold their
hands
up. Are
you pointing
up, like,
at your dick?
Well, I don't even know how that works because my thumb is pointing at my dick, but my index finger is pointing up. It just looks like I'm kind of like doing a Christian like blessing. It's kind of what it looks like.
And three
I
know the fingers are pointing back at your balls.
That's true.
I know they
you point one finger.
I know they do the thing where they hold out their palms at kind of like an L.
But that's they flash the L palm. That's the universal sign of you're cool.
Okay, like, because say, like, by your belt or something, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, they always do it super low, like when
they don't.
Like another group.
A bunch of kids put that sign at me, and I was wondering what that meant, but it means I'm cool.
Yeah.
Thanks. Cool.
Especially when they put it on their head, before their forehead.
That's the only way I've seen it before this movie.
Somebody
was. Okay. Anyway.
All right.
So, can somebody explain to me what the fuck was going on with Lopan?
All right. Lopan was cursed, I think, in the first dynasty or something. The curse to be like an old, like grow old, I guess, and never die, I assume.
Was it? But it was like he didn't have physical form. But he did sometimes.
Well, like, I think he made a pact with a demon from the sound of it. So, like, his body grew old, but then sometimes he would go in his demon form, and he wouldn't be corporeal.
But sometimes he could touch stuff in that form.
The physics were real spotty. Like, the first time you see him is when Kurt Russell hits him with the truck. He clearly hits him.
Yeah, like, he falls backwards.
No, I remember that as like he like at the last second. I mean, I don't know if it's just a bad effect, but like it looked like he like fell back completely flat. Like I don't think he was hit. I think he like at the very last second he kind of ghost backed a little bit. You know, ghost flattened.
Yeah, it looked like somebody got hit with a semi on like the old Conan O'Brien show.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of great effects, there's one part, I think it's one of the lightning guys, who, like, flies up, or someone just, like, does, like, a jump up, like, up screen, up a stage.
I think that was Wind.
Yeah, and
they
it's,
just jump straight up.
And it's very much like when Poochie went to his home planet. Like, it's almost the exact same effect, where he just goes, he's just, yeah, he's like, yeah, he's dragged straight up. That's pretty great. He didn't die on the way there, though. I think another thing we noticed when we were watching this, that Kurt Russell has a really hard time with different stories. Like, he'll like, go down a level or up a level in a building, and then he, like, will have no idea where he is. Like, he doesn't know. Like, he could be anywhere. He's got some spatial awareness going on, right, issues going on. You should get that checked out.
Body once told me. Oh, boy.
What did he tell you? Who's Body?
Hey, I got a question, too, about Lopan's thing. So, it's broken if he marries a woman with green eyes?
And then he has to kill her. If he marries a green woman with green eyes, he becomes corporeal, apparently.
Why did it take him this long?
Because they had to pass the test of fire, the burning, whatever the hell it was. Remember when they had the three spirits do
so
that?
So has
ritual?
He done this a bunch of times before, but then they die during that?
That's what it sounds like, because he said there were other women.
He says there have been lots of others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the first time it's actually kind of worked out for him.
Is this before or after that, like, old trope of the villain is trying to have a body again, and then he gets instantly killed when he gets that body?
There's a trope for that?
Yeah, what's that trope called?
Look it up. To use my words, because that definitely happens in Buffy, right? That happens in some other stuff I can't
probably
quite think of
this
right now. Where it's like, oh no, everyone's terrified that the villain is going to turn into a have a flesh body again, and then when he does, he just gets killed by the heroes.
Yeah, he shoot him with a bazooka.
Yes, like that. Like that. Or a gun in the face. Holy shit. Yeah, they kind of have it both ways, Logan. You said before, like, how this subverts, like, the American very cowboy John Wayne trope, but he's kind of both. He's, like, sometimes he's extremely competent. Sometimes he's just like, oh, I just shot a gun at some guy. What's wrong? You know, like, he's kind of doing both things.
He's
oh, yeah, I
pretty
did,
incompetent,
like,
for the most part.
That one part, the first time he shoots somebody, the guy's like, is that the first time you... What did he say?
Yeah, you never.
Like,
he said something. He said it in a funny way.
First time you,
guy.
He used some kind of slang for it. First time you plugged a guy.
Yeah. I think so. Yep.
And he's like, "Nah, of course not." I think it was, though.
It's definitely, like, it's definitely the first time he killed somebody with a gun. I mean, that doesn't come up a lot of the time.
I would say that this movie is a testament to perseverance, because he's like, he is terrible at everything, but the fact that he just keeps going, it pretty much is what saves the day.
I gotta get in a sandwich diet, because he's just immaculate. He's poured into that tank top and those tie-up jeans.
Yeah, it's also a testament to physical fitness.
That is incredible. I mean, that's definitely a Reagan era. I'm sure they got a subsidy check from this. That was when that was big. Fitness film. So when did John Carpenter stop getting money to make movies? Was it, like, after that Lovecraft one?
I think it was after this one.
After this one, yeah. Because The Thing was great, and I'm sure it was super cheap to make, and I'm sure it made a bunch of money proportionally to its budget, but then you never really had the same success after that.
This internet said that he was, like, disillusioned with Hollywood after this movie didn't succeed.
Yeah. Was The Golden Child a success?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I guess anything with Eddie Murphy at that point, right, in, like, the mid-80s would sell, I suppose.
Yeah. I think it made about as much as this movie's budget was.
Yep. So much so that, like, people, executives are like, okay, we can get Eddie Murphy. Okay, completely rewrite the script to fit him because it's going to make a bunch of money.
Yeah. I mean, after this, he's directed a few. He directed They Live, like, 2 years after this.
Well, that's true, but that also made no money, right?
It's another classic, and then he directed Escape from L.A.
Which one's the first one? I got to watch
Escape
that
from
one.
New York is the first one.
But
yeah, that's a good one, right, Logan?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I watched it.
The point was, he went back to doing lower budget stuff.
Is this a higher budget movie? I can't tell.
Yeah, it was like $20 million or something.
Whoa,
like,
for the 80s, that is pretty big.
Yeah.
Wow.
I imagine Escape from L.A. cost a bit.
Okay, I was wrong. Golden Child had a bigger budget, but its box office was $80 million.
That's still that's amazing. So it's still made a bunch of money, you know.
Yeah, this movie's budget was $20 million, and its box office was $11
million. Oh, boy. That'd be a great companion piece, though. We should watch The Golden Child next week. I've never seen that.
All right.
I want to see what a movie... Although, you know, I bet the effects aren't as good, because I'm sure they had to pay Eddie Murphy way more money than they had to pay, you know, Kurt Russell and Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, but they had to invent a dancing soda can.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Wait, is that what that's from? I totally have one of those.
Yeah, was that based on that movie, or did that come out right before that movie and they, like, did it as a tie-in?
I mean, I definitely had one, like, as a kid in the early 90s, for sure. Oh, my God, for sure. I was obsessed with it. Internet, answer our questions!
We should start inviting the internet onto the show.
Yeah. We should make this a call-in show. Just to make it even sadder.
We should make it a gong show.
All right. No. There was only... How many gongs were there? I definitely heard one big gong.
Oh, yeah, when Kurt Russell threw the knife.
Yeah.
And it missed really bad, and then that guy threw it back, and he, like, caught it in the air.
It's all in the reflexes.
Threw it back in his... So is that... He's only good at stuff when it's, like, a split-second thing?
Yeah, I think he just has good reflexes.
Like, he pulls a choke job any other time, though? When he has a second to think about it?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, like, he doesn't seem very good at anything, except he caught that bottle that almost hit him at the beginning of the movie, and he caught the knife. It all kind of, like, brings it back to the around,
sandwich.
Too. It was pretty good the way they did that, because he mentions that it's all in the reflex at the beginning when driving, talking about that.
Mm-hmm. And then he catches the bottle.
Yeah.
I was saying last night how the world was robbed of a Big Trouble in Little China ride after, you know, at Universal Studios after this movie wasn't successful. Like, through the, you know, trapped in a chair going forwards and backwards.
That actually could be fun.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now instead we just have Golden Child rides everywhere. It sucks.
Yeah.
If this movie were made today, it would definitely be a franchise, right?
Oh, yeah. It would be in 3D, and then John Carpenter wouldn't be in charge.
I feel like that was kind of what they had planned for this. I looked at some of the titles of like the foreign release titles, and some places it was The Adventures of Jack Burton.
Or is that just tying into the whole, like, because I guess Indiana Jones was a thing too. This kind of, I guess, is maybe a bit of a rip off of that, like the serialized adventures kind of.
Yeah, I would agree with that thing.
Maybe. Also, a lot of the foreign titles, they, like, totally missed the chance for, like, they missed the pun. Like, they sort of tried to keep the title, but they missed the you know, Big Trouble, Little China wordplay. And some places would call it, like, Big Trouble in Chinatown or Disaster in Little China.
Le Trouble Grand et le... I don't know. Okay. So back to Lo Ping, though. Lo Ping, is that what he's called? When did he come to Chinatown, did he say? Like, did he get on a ghost boat?
No.
This movie does not bother with extraneous details.
Also, okay. I
love it for that.
What was the name of the insurance company that he was trying to call? Was that, like, place owned by Lo Pan?
I don't remember.
And what about the Lo Pan old man makeup? Was it better than Back to the Future old people makeup? I don't know.
Yes.
I thought it was disgusting.
Yeah,
it was
pretty gross.
It was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Being old is disgusting.
So I guess it was accurate, is what you're saying?
Truly a horrifying vision.
I mean, he was like 2,000 years old. He's looking pretty good for that age.
See how good you look when 2,000 years old you be, Logan.
Yeah, I remember when he said that.
Yeah. And he pointed a stick at him, and his ears waggled.
Mm-hmm. And then he laid down and disappeared.
He kind of did.
Yeah.
Well, no, he's the corpse, I guess.
He laid down under a semi, and then...
So those ladies, so Kim Cattrall and the other lady, like, they're fine? Like, they got a bunch of magic that went through them. Like, do they have any effects from that? Or are they just kind of, was this the thing that they did? Are they going to get cancer now?
Well, she started making out with Jack Burton after, like, she hated him for a while, so it probably fucked with her brain.
Yeah, this movie has the weirdest chemistry between... weirdest straight chemistry. It has very not weird gay chemistry. But it's very strange, like, his relationship with the girl. With Kim Cattrall. I don't really get it.
He doesn't really have chemistry with her, but she's attractive, so whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, okay.
I mean, it's not like he put a ring on it. He was like, yeah, I made out with this lady who's attractive.
He got drunk and made out with her. Or was that before he got drunk?
No, he got drunk and made out with her, like...
Okay.
I mean, like, that's okay. That's cool.
I mean, that poor. And then he kissed her when he was glad to be alive.
Yeah, that was sexual assault.
Yeah.
They didn't take away the news lady's pen and paper when they put her in sex slavery jail. She could keep writing about her experiences.
Yeah, it's a human right that she'd be able to write about that.
That's fair.
What did you guys think when the monster showed up?
It made perfect sense in the flow of the movie. I didn't question it at all. The monster comes out of a door
and drags you into the... Yeah.
Well, he even says at the beginning, the police guy or the FBI guy that's questioning Egg Shin, he's like, do you believe in the magic and monsters? And he's like, yes.
Is he's a magic guy too, right? Or is he just an old, wizened...
Well, he did electrical powers.
Yeah. And Lopan flat out calls him a sorcerer.
Yeah, they had the Jedi fight, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that it starts out like a story and they never go back to it. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that doesn't cap the end of the movie.
Because so many movies use a framing device and they go back and forth until... I mean, you're like, it would have been better without that at all. And the fact that they just introduce it that way and then never go back to it, I thought that perfectly fit the tone of the movie as well.
Yeah, the tone's pretty light overall. It's like 80s light, you know.
That's not 80s light, it's completely 80s.
I meant like it's, you know, it's light in the style of a movie from the 80s. It's 80s heavy, it's drenched, it's just submerged.
This is like everything that's good about the 80s.
Everything. The racism against Asians, the strong white people protagonist, the sexy ladies. It's got it all.
But,
so was Kim Cattrall like going along with it when she was, or was she actually possessed? Because she kind of opens her eye and like looks around.
She was coming into senses, and I think she was in and out of it.
Okay.
Also, like you said, like we said earlier, the protagonist is pretty like inept. I wouldn't say strong white protagonist or whatever.
Kind of makes him hotter though, because he's like he's got a vulnerable side, you know, but he looks so tough.
It makes him a better character.
He's really insecure, you know.
I loved every time that he got like really scared. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah,
and he's just trying to play it off.
Yeah, but he's so like overconfident most of the times, and then like a big monster jumps out, and he's like, "Oh, what the fuck was that?"
But can you say that his acting is good? Like he was good for the part, but his acting is like Disney Channel adult.
No, his acting was fine.
I thought it was perfect for the movie.
Like his acting was great for what he was playing. Like did you not believe his character was acting like that, or?
I didn't believe anything about this movie. What did you believe? None of it was believable. It was all very silly.
All right, so you didn't think it was appropriate.
Maybe it was just because the movie looked like a Disney Channel production.
I felt like cameras. His performance really held the movie together.
Yeah,
I can't tell. I can't tell if because it definitely distracts me and like kind of takes me out. But you're right in that it's like for the tone this movie is going for, I guess over the top like John Wayne joke is good. Is for it. I don't know.
Well, no, like he did a great job of like just trying to like come up with this like. Overconfident, like talks a lot of shit, like who's mostly talk, like because he's just
It just felt really artificial, I guess.
Yeah, well,
but
no,
I guess
that's
this whole movie feels very artificial.
But it was artificial. That's like he's full of bluster and stuff, but you see him freak out about stuff. You see him fuck up constantly, like
right.
This guy
like, to the point where he's like not a human. He's like a script box. I don't know.
Script box.
That's you look it up. All right, let me change Wikipedia first, and then look it up.
Right.
Yeah, I'm back and forth, Logan. I don't know because I like Kurt Russell a lot, and I like John Carpenter sometimes. And yeah, like that was the right choice for this movie. But I don't know if I would. I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't know. It just sounds like you just don't like the character. That's what it sounds like to me. Like,
I mean, he's definitely a low rent Han Solo for sure.
But he's not Han Solo. He's incompetent. Like, he's just so is Han Solo. He's nothing but talk.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the great thing about it is, like, he's pretty much nothing but talk. Like, he does two things in the movie, pretty much.
Yeah.
I feel like...
One of them is talk.
Yeah, like, he... Alright, one time he fights someone, he shoots at the beginning of the fight, gets hit with the rocks in the head, falls down. Then, during the fight, like, he's trying to get his knife out, and so he puts his boot up, like, and stabs a guy in the chest, and then the guy's on him, and he spends the rest of the fight trying to get the guy off him.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess I just didn't, for some reason, I didn't go for his slapstick stuff so much. I don't know why. I don't know.
I felt like they pushed it with the... him shooting the gun and the rocks falling down. But at that point, everything else had worked so well, I thought it was good, too.
I also, yeah. Like, he's also a heroic character, because even though he's not good at anything, like, he pretty much jumps in there to save those ladies, like, immediately, like, no questions asked, which is pretty cool.
Perseverance.
Yeah.
Did you guys kind of wish the movie ended when they got out before he has to go back and rescue his girlfriend for the final mission?
No.
I don't know. I was like, oh, I thought the movie was over. It was kind of like the energy was kind of like, oh, yeah, we did it. We're out. And we got to go back in.
It was, I watched it a second time today, and it was a little bit slower.
Yeah, you know? it would have periods of, like, I'm completely entranced by this, what I'm seeing on screen, and then it would be punctuated, or that punctuated long periods of, like, kind of just, you know, oh, we got to run to the next set, you know, let's go.
I don't know, I felt like it had really good pacing, honestly. I felt like it kept on moving constantly.
All
right. Like, it'd have a small break, and then we'd go on, like, all right, now we're doing it, picking up again.
Maybe it's just my like my age showing like my modern movie taste, you know.
Wasn't the hell of the upside down centers or something?
That was pretty great.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was horrifying.
Yep, it was. It was.
The Chinese have a lot of hells, is the guy. They kept making references to a different hell.
So do you think he's, like, really suspicious of any Asian person he meets now after this? They could be, like, evil magic?
I feel like he probably was already.
Yeah. Even more now, though, I bet.
That's, like, most of the focus of his CB radio show.
We flash forward 10 years later, and he's, like, Rush Limbaugh or something. He turns into it.
We just caught him during the parts where all he was talking about is how he's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a game we could play if you want. It's one question. It's okay. Based on the foreign titles. All right, I'm going to name three movie titles. Two of them are actual. This movie was released in another country under this title, and one of them is made up. All right, you ready?
Sure.
Yes. All right.
Who makes the Chinese blow up? Or Escape from Hell, or Ghost Hunters. Which one of those did I make up?
I'm going to say Escape from Hell is real, because I'm sure they try to go for the popularity of like Escape from New York, and they do that all the time in foreign titles.
The Chinese blew up one's the fake one.
Kevin?
That's my pick, too.
Oh, I was hoping each of you would pick a different one, and then it'd be a tie.
They're all real?
They're all real.
Great.
No.
Which country? Do you know which country?
No, you were the only one that picked the wrong one, Dylan. I made that one up.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. I made that one up
for that reason. That you would think.
I fell for the distractor. That's a classic problem, multiple choice test. Yeah.
Well done. Ghost Hunters was the Japanese release. And
I can't believe there was another movie already called that.
Like, yeah, I know.
Now they have the trademark now for Ghost Hunters.
The Denmark release was Hvem Springer Kinesernifor, which they did try to go for a pun title, because apparently the title Kinesern, I don't know how to say it, but that means the Chinese in the title, Who Makes the Chinese Blow Up. Apparently, that is also in Denmark. That is the name of a type of firework.
Honey, I Blew Up the Chinese?
Yes.
right.
So that's why it's called Who Makes the Chinese Blow Up. So you're all wrong. Or no, wait. Yeah, you're all wrong. All of you lost.
Yay.
I guess that means I won?
Foiled by the Game Master again.
It means the audience won.
Oh, also, Dylan played it wrong. He said which one was real out of...
Well, I was thinking out loud that's fine. The game's over.
Yeah, it sucked. It's a bad game. I shouldn't have done it.
Oh, no, it's good. It's another line. We have a heritage of bad games on the show. We got to give the people what they want. So I do have a question, though, because you guys probably are more a movie experienced than I am. That's a weird way to say that. You know what I mean, though.
We're older than you.
Well, no, but I mean, but you guys have also seen like probably more.
We're younger.
More genre
than you.
Movies for sure. What would be your like? Hey, I need to see a John Carpenter movie, but I'm only going to see one. Like, which one would it be? Would it be The Thing?
Halloween.
Yeah, I'd say Halloween.
Logan.
Big Trouble in Little China. Actually, They Live. They Live is actually probably my favorite.
They Live, okay. I mean, that's the one you would recommend if someone who wants to get into John Carpenter movies, and that's the first one to see.
I don't know. I actually haven't watched Halloween or The Thing.
All right.
I haven't seen either of those films.
So. You haven't seen what in The Thing? What is
I haven't
thing
seen Halloween seen? Or The Thing.
The only
Shit,
other...
That's my next
two The
picks,
Thing
so.
Is really good. Yeah, there you go.
I'm probably going to watch The Thing in 2 weeks. I mean, because it's showing in the theater down here. So that's my plan.
Like to plan out your movie schedule.
Well, I mean, it's showing in a theater in 2 weeks. I mean, that's
pretty cool. Logan, what's your favorite scene?
Of this film?
Sure.
Pretty hard.
No, ever.
Pick.
What's the best scene? If you had to describe to an alien what movies are, what scene would you make him watch?
The Evil Dead scene with the eyeball flying into the person's mouth. That was pretty
yeah, cool. And then they kill us all.
But
I'd make them watch Independence Day so they know not to F with Earth.
So like, oh, blow up that building?
Yeah, I feel like it would give them an unrealistic expectations about our readiness capabilities.
I think it would just let them know to blow up the White House first.
And show us how easy it is to
take
over Earth.
It's like, well, it seemed to really fuck them up in this movie. Let's do that.
So the people will gather and hold up signs? Perfect.
Or it would show them the mistakes. Like, instead of having a bunch of little fighters come out, just keep your shields up the whole time. You're good. Just do that.
Yeah,
they can't hurt you.
All right, but my favorite scene in Big Trouble from Little China.
Oh yeah, right.
Is probably the part where he's eating the sandwich and driving, podcasting.
The first scene.
The very first and the very last scene are your favorite.
Yeah,
he is kind of podcasting, isn't he?
If you had to pick one, would it be the first or the last? Which one of those did you prefer?
First.
Oh, even though the monster
have you
is...
paid your dues, Jack?
And I say. The check's in the mail.
Yep. Hey, Matt.
What was your favorite?
Ask Kevin what his favorite scene was.
Scene, Dylan.
What?
Kevin, what was Dylan's favorite scene? I'm bad at this. Kevin, what was Dylan's favorite scene?
When those two guys almost kissed at the end.
I was going to say that. 100% that's what I was going to say.
Yay.
They had so much.
So
God,
worked.
They have the doomy eyes on those guys.
Right,
Jesus.
Dylan, what's Kevin's favorite scene?
When Kim Cattrall was in that dress, that traditional Chinese dress.
Kevin, is that right?
Sure, I like that.
All right.
Is there any other scenes you liked almost as much as that one, Kevin?
I really like the one where after they drink the stuff from Egg Shin, they're all in the elevator.
That was pretty
good. And they're
good.
And they're all like a little tipsy, it seems.
It's like, I feel good.
Yeah. Not scared or anything.
There's a few times like after that scene where like they're jumping really high and stuff. I'm like, wait, I was like, wait a second, like this is breaking my immersion. I'm like, oh wait, they can do things that other men can't do now.
Yeah, because they drank the stuff.
Drank the magic potion.
All of them were grinning like they were high. It was great.
Well, I mean, like Jack jumped like 10 feet in the air. Like he jumped up like was halfway through that hole at the end.
And then one gets a little handsy. The elevator scene ends right when someone gets a little handsy. It cuts. I forget which one exactly.
Well, he asked if it felt hot in here.
And then someone touches his shoulder, and then the scene cuts away.
Before they show him slapping that person.
Or someone touches
his shoulder. They should put a title card in there that says 2 hours later.
And they're exactly. all like zipping up.
Yeah.
They should.
What was it the guy said when he brought out, he's like, time for the medicine or something like that. When he yeah. brought out that potion.
I think Kurt
Russell he said it was him, boots,
like,
didn't he?
Yeah, he asked like yeah. what it does, and he's like, it gets you buzzed.
Yeah, that was pretty good, actually. I laughed at that.
I mean,
is there a special, sorry, man, is there a special yeah. like, you know, extended edition? Are there any significant deleted scenes or anything about this movie? I have a feeling it's not as, like, it's not as lovingly curated the same way like The Thing would be in a DVD release or something, probably.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Our Nightbreed.
God, I got such a Nightbreed vibe. But again, I can't tell if it's just because I don't watch a lot of, you know, a lot of 80s movies.
I kind of did too.
So is there like a Cabal Nightbreed. Cut of this movie is what you're wondering?
Yeah, or like maybe like a script turn into like a book, like a sequel script or something. I don't know.
My favorite scene? Probably yeah. the end one. Because there was just so many fucking crazy things that happened in that. When they had the weird light fight and they had light warriors fighting each other that they shot at each other in beams. And him like shooting his gun up, Jack Burton shooting his gun up in the air like, yeah! And the roof falling on his head, knocking him out for a few seconds.
Yeah, that's good.
And there was a part that made me laugh that a guy is like coming at him with a sword over his head, like just walking slowly at him, like, bro, while he's on the ground. And then he like uses one foot to like push the knife and on his ankle, like up
yeah.
and like put it up and stab the guy. But it's like the guy just walks over slowly and he just kind of does that. And the guy just kind of like lays down on the knife and is just like, oh.
And he couldn't, like, you know, I like that too. And he couldn't look more cumbersome in his, like, oh no, my leather armor, my really clumsy leather armor has not saved me. Yeah, that was pretty great.
And he apparently just died, like, right yeah. away.
He's like, oh man, I got stabbed in the side. Now I guess I'm dead now.
Because it's just a guy, right?
You could hear him die.
Yeah. Another thing, too, about that last scene, there's a lot of, like, moving parts in that scene. Like, there's a lot of different groups of people fighting each other that have like different levels of power, and I was wondering if like, well, what if like some of them won and then some of them lost on the same side? Like, how would that work?
Wait,
like what if like the yellow guys won their fight, because like, you know, the yellow guys are fighting the red guys, they were just doing regular fights, then you got the magic guys are fighting, and then you got Lo Ping and like the sorcerer are fighting. Like, what if, you know, instead of all of them winning, the good guys, like, what if like,
Lo Ping, Egg Shun,
thank you,
or think Egg Shun, maybe, I don't know.
Ooh, thank you. As well. All right, well, that's a pretty good movie. So next yep. week, we're watching Abduction again.
Quit saying that.
Abduction
Minute.
Yeah, I did. Kevin, hey. I'm on board. We need to do it before someone else does.
All right.
Do what? What are we doing?
Abduction Minute.
No Logan's allowed.
But that gets one Logan.
We got to find another one. Logan. So...
Hey. Yeah, Matt, what have you been watching recently?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what have I been watching recently? I watched The Witch.
The Witch? Oh, The Witch.
Oh, yes. No spoilers. I really want to see that.
Okay, I won't tell you what happens then, like I was about to. It was pretty good.
That's
Although, good. After watching it, I was really curious to find out from Kevin where exactly the movie theater shut the movie off when he was watching it, because I kept thinking about that. I kept imagining like how this would have felt if this was the end of the movie.
She walks into the house. I think she might even it's not a spoiler. It's not a spoiler.
God, house walking. No, God, I'm looking for that.
She walks into the house. Fuck. And she like lays her head on the table, and I think it actually cuts to black right there.
Oh, wow, that's a weird part. Yeah, that was one of the parts that I wondered. That's weird. Super weird.
Did you understand them when they spoke?
Yeah, why?
Okay, because the second time I watched it, I had the closed caption on, and I think that made me enjoy it more, because I could understand them better, because they have such a peculiar accent.
Oh, yeah, actually, now that you mention it, I think I did turn closed caption on for part of the movie. Because, yeah, they did. Yeah, okay, so maybe I partially understood them. Maybe I didn't super.
There's one scene in particular where the son is talking to the father that didn't play nearly as well in the theater as it did when I was watching it with a closed caption on.
It also, the sound was jumping all over the place for me. Like, I would try and turn it up. I would have to turn it up a lot to hear what they were saying, and then some noisy thing would happen.
Where does it rank on, like, the new kind of slate of, like, indie horror films the last couple of years, like Babadook and It Follows and, like, those kind of movies?
I think it ranks pretty well.
Yeah. Pretty well with those guys? Yeah, okay.
I'd definitely throw it in that bin.
Like, okay, cool. I would say, Logan, look away if you're not going to... I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I'm just going to talk a little bit about the... I felt the end was a little more indie than it was horror.
You're not the first person to say something to that effect, I think, yeah.
I think it should have been much more awful or gruesome.
All right.
Man, I'll keep that in mind when I watch it. Talk about that, but we can't talk about it. All right, what else did I watch? Oh, yeah, I'm kind of playing catch-up with you guys on some stuff, I felt like. I watched 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Man, that'd be a good pick. If I had to pick this week, that's what we would watch.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you don't get to pick again.
You're right.
Next week?
It's 3 weeks from now, I don't know.
I think it might be next week. Anyways, it was fine. I think 10 Cloverfield Lane was fine.
Like, flying, or... like it was adequate.
It was fine. Like, okay. I mean, it didn't blow me away. I mean, I feel like there's not a whole lot there. Like, you know, there's the whole thing with the end, but I kind of assumed that was the case, that was something along those lines was going to happen.
Yeah, that's not a weighty, substantial movie. Like, it has an indie feel, but it doesn't have like the, like, you know, like the thoughtfulness of an indie movie, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
It didn't have to be a Cloverfield movie. I mean, that felt almost...
I mean, it definitely wasn't, you know.
Yeah, it felt kind of tacked on. Obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think the actors didn't even know until, like, before the premiere, they were, like, being interviewed. Like, oh, Cloverfield, okay, that's not what this movie was called. I seriously think that's what happened.
It's funny, though, if you look up some of the foreign promotional materials and even foreign trailers in some places, they show you all of that, like the stuff that happens at the end is in it.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I think that happened with like Star Wars, like a lot of movies, like their international trailers just have all kinds of spoilers.
They just sell it like as that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess what else, how else are they gonna, like, I assume the same way that like movies, like if there's a trailer for a movie, a foreign movie that's for American audiences, that's just a bunch of people talking in a language they don't understand, then, you know, it's not as much of a sell as, yeah.
Yeah, the sizzle. It's like the poster was straight up like a picture from the end of the movie.
That's great.
It's pretty funny. But
did Logan just turn off the podcast right before so he doesn't get anything spoiled?
I took off my headphones for a while. Okay. Like, I took off my headphones when Kevin kept on talking, and I put my headphones back on, and Kevin says, and this scene, so I took them off immediately again, and then I put them back on, and then Kevin goes, Logan, if you're listening to this, so I took them off again.
That's great.
Kevin's just been doing that to mess with you. Every 20 seconds he says something like that.
That's how he muscles his way into the position as the leader.
Has
of the
he
podcast.
Really been saying that? Or...
No.
Yeah, the edit's going to be really funny. Yeah.
And then this scene, the Hulk. Is he still there?
As much as Donald Trump.
There you go. Topical.
But yeah, the end of The Witch was totally spoiled in the foreign markets. And,
for sure.
I watched. Just watched Bridge of Spies.
Yep.
What's that about?
It's about... Tom Hanks gets this bridge and he buys it, but it's full of spies and he ends up spending more money getting rid of the spies than the bridge is worth.
Yeah, Bridge of Spies Pit.
Yeah. But yeah, Kevin, you had said when I watch it that you wished it had been directed by PTA.
Yep.
By Paul Thomas Anderson. And you're like, just watch it. You'll see what I mean. I don't know that I necessarily did, because, I mean, I was like, yeah, I would have preferred to see it directed by him, but I kind
you
of...
You can say that about most movies, right?
Yeah, before I saw it, I assumed that I would prefer to see it directed by him. Yeah, Spielberg's just a little too cartoony in some ways for me, but...
Ever since he got that one DP, like, all his movies look the same. They all have that golden brown feel to it. Like, Jan Kamuski or something. I think he was first on Schindler's List. And it's just, like, they all have that golden kind of, like, Magic Hour feel to them.
That's actually why Schindler's List was mostly black and white, is because he saw the colors and were like, oh!
All the sepia tone. No, thanks.
I gotta get used to this.
Well, I don't know. Would you, do you think? I thought it was like a. I mean, I'm a history nerd, but I thought it was like a solid 7, 7.5. You know, it's a good movie. It's competent, very competent.
Yeah,
I honestly thought of the nominees, it was the best one.
Was it nominated for Best Picture? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen all the nominees yet, though. Though I'm catching up. I saw Spotlight and something else. I forget.
Did you see Room? It's on Netflix, I think.
It's on Amazon. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to watch that with some people that I'm like not afraid to hug. I'm gonna need some support if I'm gonna watch Room.
What if somebody gets abducted now and like put in a room with a DVD of Room?
It just made me sad thinking about that. I don't know.
Yeah, it made me sad thinking about doing that too.
Hey Logan, what have you watched?
I watched half of Bullworth today.
Had you ever seen
it? We're doing that for the podcast. I forgot.
I've watched like the end of Bullworth like I don't know how many times on the cable.
Just the end?
Yeah, that end part where he says talking about, like, everybody's gotta start fucking everybody till we're all the same color. I've seen that part like probably hundreds of times.
And then he gets shot for telling the truth. Take that. That's a spoiler for Bullworth.
And there's that guy looking at him.
Well, this is actually the first time I've ever watched the beginning of it.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, why did he watch it?
Of all the
why?
Things, you could, you know, how did that happen?
Did you turn it off once you got to the part you had seen before?
No, I just went and did something else. I mean, it was kind of interesting. So he's talking about how, like, politicians... Well, he's at a black church and...
Yeah, no, he's not talking, he's rapping.
Well, no.
He's talking and rapping.
At the beginning of the he starts talking... Like, his black church that asked him, like, why hasn't done so-and-so? He says, well, because you guys don't give me money, and the insurance companies, they give me money, so I do what they say.
I'm Warren Beatty, and I'm here to say I hate racial injustice in a major way. I think he said that in the movie. Yeah, it's kind of Thank You for Smoking-y, isn't it? Like, where it's, like, very, you know, upfront with, like, the hard truths.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, like, in the... Yeah. There's another time where he goes on about the lobbyists, like an insurance industry, and like the only way to fix it is socialism, like single payer healthcare. Then he also goes in like talking about the oil companies in the Middle East, and if they don't step in line, they just go bomb everything over there.
And, well, 20 years later, I'm glad we fixed all those problems.
Yeah, luckily this movie will never be out of date.
Yeah, I mean it was in 1998, like. I feel like a lot of those are more coming to a head nowadays because people have the internet and like, hey, look at this thing that, like, this is kind of fucked up, people.
Of course.
Oh, so now people don't have to rely on the words of black people. They actually can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually a thing with police violence is that,
of course, people also have, specific sites on the internet that they will go to.
Like FARC.
Only trust them. That is bullshit. Anyways.
Like Wikipedia.org.
Yes.
Hey, Logan, what else do you watch?
I watch Big Trouble in Little China. Mostly that's all I've watched. I mean...
I only go to Wikipedia.net.
I don't think I've watched anything...
I'm going to go to Conservapedia. Sorry.
I played lots of Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse and some of Dead Rising 3. Man, that Xenoverse game, I've been playing that like crazy. It's pretty fun.
It's not, folks at home. It is.
Mm.
Hey, speaking of black people, in Fallout 4, my wife was black, and our baby was black, but then when he gets older, he turns into a little white kid.
With an amazing... Oh, never mind. I can't. I don't want to spoil it.
Kevin, have you been watching any movies?
Yes. I watched most of I Saw the Light, the Hank Williams movie. It was not very good. I actually didn't finish it. And I never do that, unless I can fall asleep on it. And this one I just turned off. Very boring, very slow. And it made me realize how much Tom Hiddleston looks like a shriveled up John Hamm.
Yeah, like deflated a little bit.
Yeah.
It took the air out of John Hamm, yeah.
Kevin,
yeah,
you just reminded me of something else I watched recently, The Lobster. Because...
Oh!
Because I brought The Lobster up to Kevin, and I was like, oh, I watched that. And he was like, yeah! And I was like, oh, you've seen it? And he's like, yeah. Oh, well, I didn't watch the end, but... Like, what?
Yeah, asterisk.
Did they, like, they cut the movie off on that, too, for you?
No, I fell asleep, and I was, like, too tired to watch
it. In a movie theater?
No. It was streamed illegally by someone unnamed.
Maybe it's just you, Kevin. Like, the people at the theater know, like, oh, that guy won't mind.
He's probably asleep anyway. Oh, I have woken up there in the morning.
So anyways, The Lobster was good. It's pretty nuts.
It's pretty sad, right?
I was surprised that I assumed, like, when I started watching it, I'm like, this must be based on a book. But it wasn't.
Why? Why did you say that? Was there a voiceover?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Who made it? Like, people we would know?
No.
No? Okay.
You want me to look it up?
No.
It's a name I didn't know, so I forgot it immediately.
Kevin, you see anything else?
Yes, I saw The Secret Life of Pets.
They don't even try anymore with the titles. They just say, like, the premise now. Like, that could be any Pixar film, The Secret Life of whatever.
Yeah, it kind of could. But it was cute. It was very fast-paced and lots of great voice actors.
Is it better than Finding Dory?
Ooh, probably.
Wow. Take that, Pixar.
Yeah.
I really like both of them.
All right.
And I started rewatching Mr. Robot.
Oh.
As the new season starts soon. Man, some parts of it are so good, and then some parts of it just falls short, and it's kind of disappointing. But, yeah, it's still one of the better things you can find on TV, I think.
So I guess the second season is just going to be... spoilers if you haven't watched it yet, but if you haven't, then that's your choice. I guess the second season's just going to be Fight Club, if Fight Club kept going.
No, we find out he's Tommy Westfall.
I was more shocked that you remembered that name.
Me too.
Yorgos Lanthimos.
Mm-hmm. That's the director of The Lobster.
No, you know my true name. I'm melting. Oh, God.
Yeah, why did you make that rule? You're in charge of that.
That was done. That's how I keep my looks. What have I been watching, guys? Well, I'm glad. Oh, no, Kevin, what else you got?
That's pretty much all. Red Dead Redemption is now on backwards compatible, so I played that a lot.
Oh, it's a movie?
The Overt Life of Pets.
Okay. The not so secret. So if I had to watch one kid's movie that came out this year, would it be Zootopia? Or would it be Finding Dory? Or would it be The Secret Life of Pets? You're the expert, Kevin. Help me out.
Big Trouble in Little China.
I really love the animation in Zootopia.
Okay.
But
it's weird because one was Disney, one was Pixar, and one was DreamWorks. Interesting.
Oops, yes. I don't know. I really like this one today. I just saw it. It was really.
Is it just because it was the most recent one you saw?
Could be. Right. I don't remember.
I'm guessing yes.
I think the other's got a fish in it or something.
Well, what have I been watching? I'm glad no one asked because I haven't been watching much. I had a family staying. I had little cousins, so we watched some of Kung Fu Panda 3, and it seemed okay, I guess. And then we watched some of Amazing Spider-Man 2, and that seemed not so okay. I know.
What? That's like, oh, Amazing Spider-Man. I thought it was like Spider-Man 2. I'm like, that's one of the best ones.
It just made me, knowing that Donald Glover tried to get that role just makes me hate him more. You know, it's hard to watch. Like, God, that'd be so much better. And it was great watching it with, like, because I was kind of in and out, like, I was in and out of the room, but, like, my family watched it from the beginning, and then they were asking so many questions, like, wait, what? Why is he a bad guy? What is happening? And I felt so vindicated, you know, like, yeah, they also couldn't follow that piece of crap. And another thing I saw last night in my hotel room was a little thing called Law & Order Criminal Intent, starring Jeff Goldblum, and it was amazing. It was an episode where a girl goes to a goth club, and she gets killed, and she gets her blood drank, and it was really good, because they're the least threatening goths I've ever seen. They're murderers, and they're a beautiful... One of them gets called in for questioning, and he's still wearing his fake vampire teeth, and you can tell the actor can't really work with it, so it's like very muffled how he talks. It's so good. Look up that episode. I don't know what it's called. Give it a watch. Best 45 minutes you probably are going to spend today.
How do I watch that?
I watched it in my hotel room's cable.
All right, so I got to rent a hotel room.
Yeah. And then find, I think, the USA Network, because I saw a commercial for Mr. Robot. I'm surprised that show's on USA. It seems kind of cerebral for that. But
yeah, everyone is surprised by that.
Yeah, it's no Burn Notice, I guess. And I'm sure I watch other stuff, but that's all I can think of. So that's all I'll say. Oh, wait, no, I've got a new segment. It's called Should I Watch This Movie? And this week's movie is Three Kings. Should I watch that movie?
That's pretty good.
You should watch it.
I like it's pretty funny. Subversive, yeah.
You should watch it.
It's by that guy who, like, when he still made good movies, and then before he, like, went off the deep end. Right, that one guy is like super angry all the time.
Spike Jones.
I think he was in it, but I think it was directed by a Russell, wasn't it, or written by a Russell?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay. Well, there you go. There you have it, folks. Case closed. The end of the podcast. It's a great place to stop. Yep.
Cool. Well, that's all the segments we've got for you this week. Logan, have you been recording?
Yeah, I think so. Let me double check. Yeah, I'm recording. Hey, okay, Matt, cool. Pick that movie or whatever.
The movie. All right. I can pick a movie.
Secret Life of Bees.
I think there was one I meant to pick because I thought of it to pick last week. And then I realized it wasn't my week, and now I forgot what that was. But I will pick the 1979 Albert Brooks movie Real Life.
Real Life. Okay.
Yeah. Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're doing. That's the thing.
We're not doing broadcast news. We're not doing the one where he dies. We're doing that one. Okay.
Although that one's on Netflix also. Defending Your Life.
Yeah, that's it. That's a weak one.
So Lost in America.
So 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Everybody pick an Albert Brooks movie to watch. And then
so Spanglish.
We'll all come back together.
Or is that a James L. Brooks movie? So the Simpsons
Albert Brooks
movie.
Is actually in the Secret Life of Pets. He plays a falcon, and he's hilarious.
That makes sense.
Sure. Is he like really a neurotic falcon or something?
No, he like wants to eat all of them.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Is he neurotic about it?
Does he do a Scorpio thing though, where he's like very, you know, he's threatening in how he's very confident and not?
Yes, you know. he's staring down at him at one part while they're having a group meeting, and he's just like licking his lips or licking his beak, I should say.
When has the Simpsons movie been a lot better? Can you hold that thought, Logan? When the Simpsons movie been a lot better if Albert Brooks was Scorpio, Hank Scorpio, instead of the new character?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. All right, next week.
Did they lose the rights to that character or something?
No, I just think that the movie was in development for so long and they had so many different ideas. That was just one of the many ones. Like, they knew they wanted to use Albert Brooks, and that was, I guess, probably a natural, like, first, you know, early instinct. Like, yeah, let's
I thought Scorpio. Maybe they didn't make a Scorpio movie soon enough, so they lost the rights.
No, I think it was like they had to get the rights to the Denver Broncos, of course, for it to work. But I think they were afraid that general audiences wouldn't remember who Hank Scorpio was. Which is like, who gives a shit? General audiences are going to see a Simpsons movie no matter who's in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Next week's movie is Real Life.
Instead of a movie, we're picking we're going to talk about Real Life.
Everyone periscope yourself for a week, and we'll get back to with your findings.
All right. So, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Logan. I'll see you soon, pal.
Later.
Thanks for listening to another big episode of our little podcast. You like that? You like what I did? I don't. I feel bad inside now. But you can make me feel better by writing to the show at hlatatmow@gmail.com. hlatatmow@gmail.com. And you can also remember to rate and review us on the websites that exist, and there's other places or something, and keep listening, and all night. Goodbye.
Why can Christians not have to obey Jewish laws? Why do they get a pass on that?
Because of the new covenant or whatever. I don't know.
What do you mean?
Hey, Matt.
Yeah?
What role do you think of when you think William Sadler?
Shawshank?
Thank you.
Is that the answer that you wanted?
I was just curious. We talked about it briefly.
What role do you think of?
Die Hard 2.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot about that. We should watch Die Hard. Not talk about it, but just watch it.
I do. I watch it all the time. All but that last one that was so bad.
Live Free or Die Hard? No, that was the next to last one.
Good Day to Die Hard.
Good Day to Die Hard, yes.
Bad movie.
Yes. Now back to finding out why Christians get to ignore part of the Bible.